Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with any luck, wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of light and life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, and oh my God, that list goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. And yet we all have the same spiritual calling. And we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in that turmoil we call evolution. So sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Deb Schiller, who is my co-host tonight, and Jen Young, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you'd like to call in for one, the number's 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long, it does fill up. Deb's in the chat room, so is Chris, and if you have any questions, you know, aim it at them because, frankly, I just don't answer private messages during the show. I can't talk and type at the same time. Ken Quiet Hawk, that amazing voice, can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about him. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and Jen Young will fill us in on her blogspot place where she can be reached. Can't tease her about not having a website or anything anymore. It's kind of sad, but it's good that we know how we can connect with her. Before we get involved with the readings, though, I want to share with you some very special shows that I highly recommend to those seeking spiritual surroundings and information. With so many shows on BTR, sometimes it's hard to decide where you want to invest your time and your energy in. And these are shows that I love, I frequent, and I endorse highly because of the quality of material and the spiritual energy that they radiate. I've listed them in the information about the show, but I also want to say Jen's contact is jenyoungsite.blogspot.com. There are so many shows out there that have such wonderful quality, such wonderful energy that you know, I do want to draw your attention to them. There is the spirit of the radio that's on Sundays. That's with the wonderful Ray Booker and medium Sarah May. Sundays, I believe at noon Eastern time. You're going to have to kind of check the time frames for all of these because I didn't have them all, so I didn't write any of them down. On Tuesdays and Fridays, Renee Richards is on the air, I believe 8 o'clock on Fridays. I'm not sure what time on Tuesdays. Tuesdays she teaches. Fridays she reads. That is a lady that you want to get to know and you want to experience. She is profound. Every night, hear that, every night from 10 to 12 Eastern time, Chris is on Curious Times. She has a wonderful, amazing variety of people that she brings on, and it is a fabulously entertaining show. I do it. Christina, why does her last name keep avoiding me? Anyhow, Christina's on it. There are a lot of regular people. Jen Young is on it. And it is an amazing show. It's Christina Nelson. I don't know why her name keeps dropping out of my head. she's an amazing medium, and you want to experience her as well. Then on the 28th or the 29th, I can't figure it out, but it's one of those 2 days. It would be at 5 o'clock Eastern time. There's a new show on the air. It's called Paranormal Psychic Radio with Solana and Christina Nelson. I think it's the 28th, but the show page says the 29th, so flip a coin. I try it on the 28th because I think it's going to be a spectacular show. Robert does Blog Talk Radio, and his show is called BiteRadio.me. His show is amazing. He has wonderful people on there as well. Reverend Ann Rose has Heavenly Whispers. I'm not sure which night she's on, but she is spectacular. Please catch her with her psychic chef. And then on the Wolf and the Bear Network, you have Visionary Times with Bear Medicine Walker and Deb Schiller and the Reverend Ann Rose. And those shows are fascinating as well. They're on at 1 p.m. on Wednesdays and Fridays. And also on the Wolf and the Bear Network, please don't miss them, is Hawk's Nest with the amazing Ken Quiet Hawk. His show is on at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays. It's a reminder of what radio used to be, and it's highly addictive. His partner, Deborah, Deborah Newmoon. Oh, please, where are my notes here? I don't want to, you know, it's terrible. Deborah Newmoon Rising. New Moon Rising is her show. Her show is Mama Moon, and that's on at 1 p.m. on Tuesdays. Deborah, I am so sorry I screwed that up, but actually, to be honest with all of you, I forgot I had a show tonight, so that I am kind of going at the moment by the seat of my pants. Sooner or later, my head will catch up with my mouth and we'll be fine. But until then, I'm grasping here just slightly. I don't know what it is, but it does feel to me as though energy is kind of screwing up here. And actually, today I had the unique experience of having somebody call me a con artist, which, amazed me. And so, not that I'm in shock or anything like that, it's just that you know, after all these years, for somebody to call me a con artist kind of, no, it was funny. It's one of those cases of somebody wanted a reading and I gave them the reading and they didn't hear what they wanted to hear, and so I was a con artist. So I guess it was my turn to get somebody to, you know, attack me just slightly. I just kind of chuckled. So I figure, you know, that's life. It's my turn, and it means that somebody else is not going to have to experience that. Of course, now they will, because he definitely will not come back to me because I answered his letter with an equally nasty letter. So just goes to show you, those of us that feel we're really, really evolved can sink to that level in a heartbeat if they catch you at the wrong moment, and he absolutely did. So I'm going to pull Jen Young on. Jen is an amazing lady. She is phenomenal. She is accurate. She is gentle. She is sincere. She has a quiet sense of humor that is just profound, and sometimes, you know, if you're not really listening, you don't catch it. But she has amazing insight, and she touches people's spirits and hearts, you know, with what she says and how she says it. So, hello, Jen. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Barbara. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry that someone actually was a bit unkind with you today. I do laugh about it because the other night with Chris and I, someone told her she sucked. And it just, I don't know what it is, but we laugh and it's just, it really is unkind, but I think it's a sign of the times maybe. And it's like, are you kidding me? You know, like,
no.
So you don't get what you want and you get to call names, you know?
Well, you know what
it really?
Well, and, you know, he fell into that same category as the woman who called the other night and wanted to know when she was going to sell her sofa. You know, sometimes there are people that just, you know, want to control the reading. They want to know what they want to know, and they don't want you to actually read them. And so, you know, I kept trying to read him, and I finally just said, okay, you know, and I kept answering the questions that he was asking, not that they were psychic questions, but I answered them. And so, you know, and at one point I said, well, I'm not getting paid for this, so screw this, you know, I'll just float along with him. I know he's going to not pay me, so I'm not going to read him.
You hit my funny bone. Oh, that's funny.
Well, and, you know, it shows you how fast we can sink off that spiritual platform, because I thought it would be great fun to play the reading and let everybody hear what kind of a jerk he was. And then I thought, oh, no, that is really, he is entitled to the confidentiality. But I toyed with it. I kind of thought, let me just put this out in the air and let everybody, you know, hear what he's like and not of course, give his name. But you know, let people hear how not to get a reading. You know? I thought, no. That, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm covered by my LLC and everything, but I don't want to try it on. But
I don't know what it is. It's funny though, isn't it? It's I don't know if it's funny, haha, or funny peculiar, or just oddities. It's I don't know. It's good for you for just doing that, really.
Well, you know, I have to admit, I've chuckled the entire day off over it. You know, it's been a very long time that someone has, you know, called me a name. So it was obviously my turn again, and that's okay. And 30, 40 years ago, it would have been devastating. Now I just laugh. You know,
the last time I was really called a name, to be honest, was by a psychologist. And I looked at her and I said, I think you need a psychiatrist because you're calling me names.
Well, it's
really not something one does. I just thought, that is really bizarre. But, you know, so be it, right?
Oh yeah. And you know, just knowing that he had no intention of paying me, you know, it was like, well, and that's why I stopped answering his Facebook messages. It's like, you know, if you were going to pay me, maybe I'd take this kind of guff, but since you're not going to pay me, you know, forget it, you know.
But okay, but that really brings something, you know, a question to mind. Even if someone is going to pay you, really, and that's for anybody that's out there listening, even if someone is going to pay you, do you have to take rudeness or inappropriateness or, rudeness, ignorance?
Well,
as,
you know, I've...
As something. Like, I don't think we do. I think, you know, as a worth to ourselves, we don't have to take that.
Oh, no, and I tell people all the time, if you're sitting in a reading, if you've paid, whether it's a psychic fair or whether it's a private reading or whether it's a phone reading, whatever it is, if you are getting a reading and you, in the first 10 minutes, the first 10 minutes of the reading, if you feel that they are not hitting you, if they are not getting you, if they are not tuned into your energy, for heaven's sakes, you know, say it. Say, you know, that isn't resonating to me. Can you try another, you know, tactic? You know, let them know that they're off. And if after, you know, another couple of minutes you still don't feel that they're connecting, get up and leave. Don't sit for the hour or hour and a half and pay them money and validate everything they've said that was wrong, because then you're claiming it. And if it was wrong, then you're claiming the wrong stuff about yourself. So, you know, it's important for everybody to understand that readers can be off. And if they're off, don't validate them. Don't give them money. Walk away and leave. And especially if it's like at a psychic fair or something like that. You know, then you can go to whoever's running the fair and say they weren't able to tune in to me. Can I have somebody else? And you know, I know the fairs that I used to work. That was always the policy. If in the first 5 or 10 minutes you did not feel that they were resonating to you, get up and get somebody else. So, I mean, this guy took, what, an hour and a half of my time and then an additional 2 hours in Facebook messaging and you know, called me a con artist. So that's just ridiculous. And, you know, if you're listening to a radio show and you don't resonate to what it is, you change the channel. If you're watching a TV show and it doesn't hit you right, you change the channel. Do the same thing with a psychic. You know, our personalities do to some degree cloud or cover or tinge the information we're giving people. So, you know, if there is a personality, you know, if there's a personality misfit or something like that, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we're not meant to be able to be perfect and hit everybody. Though sometimes I think we are, but we're not. And so it's, you know, I know that there are personality types that I have difficulty with. And you know, I have often said to somebody, you know what, I'm just not connecting to where you want to connect to. Try somebody else. And that's okay.
No, and you that's exactly true. Sorry, I interrupted you. That is true. And there's some psychics, some people that you can just say, We're not connecting here. This just doesn't resonate. I'm really sorry. Like,
yeah.
You can read, you know, I've got a couple of friends, and they say, that person is a great reader, but I just don't connect. Great. You don't connect. For whatever reasons, they don't connect. That's okay. It's not right, wrong, or indifferent. It just is. It just is.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I gained the greatest, I learned an amazing lesson and gained terrific respect for a reader that was at the Renaissance Festival when I was there. She was a tarot reader, and I can remember I was asking questions at that time about, I think, relationship. And I don't remember exactly what the question was, but I remember her looking at the cards and looking at me and looking at the cards and looking at me and looking at the cards. And then she looked at me and she said, you know, I just don't know. And I gained the most amazing amount of respect for her, that she could tell me she didn't know. Because that to me said that whatever else she did say to me had impeccable honesty behind it. So it's okay to say I don't know. I mean, you know, we're not perfect, much as some of us would like to believe, but we're not, and we don't always have the answer. And so from then on, I never felt guilty when somebody asked a question and I really wasn't getting an answer, and I would say, you know, I just don't know. It's still up for grabs. It's still, you know, it's not in the cards yet or whatever. But reality is that we're not meant to know everything. We're just not. If we knew everything, then there would be no purpose to being down here, so, or over here, or whatever it is. So that you know, psychics do not have the answers to everything that goes on in life. We just don't. And somebody just said she'd rather have them say, I don't know, rather than lie or make something up. It's really amazing.
I totally agree.
And you know, I've been reading for so very long, and I've read, I don't know, Patrick and I figured out something like 500,000 people or something like that in the 50 years that I've been at it so far. So To only have one person call me a con artist means I have to be doing something right somewhere. So, you know, am I going to fold my tent and go into the shadows? I don't think so. I'm going to say that was an hour and a half that could have been spent folding laundry, and I would have had more from it. But, it's sort of like I shouldn't laugh. I mean, I'm sure some people get that kind of stuff, and if they feel very badly about it. If this was a person that sincerely had been looking for information, you know, on their own spiritual growth and development and stuff like that, I think then I could have given him magically beautiful material, but all he wanted to know was his wife going to sleep with other men? And they were divorced. They were divorced. And, you know, I said, of course she is. You're going to sleep with other women. What's the big thing? He said, I just can't stand the thought of her being with other men. And you know, it was kind of like, you need to work on this, you know. So I had an hour and a half of telling his wife was a slut. So, you know. It blew me away.
She's going to be walking like John Wayne for a long time, and you're not. What can I tell you?
Yeah. No, he kept telling me how great he was, how handsome he was, how successful he was. I said, if you're that great, she wouldn't have left you or felt that she was being shortchanged. Something's wrong here. So I guess maybe I understand why you called me a con artist. I didn't stroke him. I just, you know, beat him up a little bit. But not more than I beat anybody up here. So, no, it wasn't your ex.
Like it was, right?
Yeah. No, but we do have people. You know, I really didn't think anybody would be here tonight, so I'm delighted to see there are actually people there. It was such a, it's almost like this day didn't happen. I don't know how else to explain it. This, you know, it was almost like there was an extra day in the week, and it has no name. It's just like this was a nothing day. Have you ever had one of those?
I have had one of those, and it's been a very strange day. I got a phone call from a friend of mine. She's elderly. She's over 80, and you know, she wanted to drive to the doctor's, and I said, you know, of course I can do that, you know. And I said, well, you know, of course I don't mind driving. What's happening? Well, she broke her hand, and I said, oh, gosh, you know, how did that happen? Well, I fell down 17 stairs.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, holy smokes. Like, when did this happen? Why didn't I know? All the questions come out. Well, I was in the hospital for 5 days, and I'm thinking, holy cow, you know. I've broken two ribs, and I'm thinking, you're lucky that's all you broke. Like, it could have been a whole lot worse. Anyhow, I phoned a mutual friend and said, did you know this would happen? Well, she just found out, too. So both of us go over, and we check out the poor dear, and she's got this huge cast on her hand. She's bruised and battered, and she's insisting that she's going to be okay by herself. And we're thinking, no, you're not, you know, because she's got painkillers, mm-hmm. of course, and everything else. And it's just like we're on a different plane or planet. And it was, like you say, just like this weird, weird energy. And other people had come up to see her, and they had no idea that this had happened. And, you know, It's so crazy. Crazy.
Truly. Yeah, no, absolutely. It was funny because, you know, I had, pardon me, lots and lots of stuff I could have done today. I finished, you know, a book, and that's about all I did, actually.
After being chewed out, I finished a book.
I'm sorry. You have to laugh at it. It didn't.
At stuff like that because I think stuff like that's really funny.
And you know, sometimes you never know what your reaction is going to be to something. I studied in the spiritualist church for 7 years. The two ministers, a man and a, they were married, and I studied with a man, and he was a very gentleman, gentle person, you know, farmer type person. His wife was an aristocratic British medium, strong as hell. Just I mean, you know, she could shake the walls by just looking at them. She was scary, but she was a strong medium. And they both were very controlling of the church. They wouldn't certify mediums. They wouldn't certify healers. They ran their classes and stuff, but nobody got in the pulpit but them. And he became ill before her, and so then rotating ministers were working, and one of them was a friend of mine who was in the class with me, and she said, "I'm going to do the sermon, but I can't do the mediumship. Would you come and do the mediumship for me?" And I said, "Sure, I'd be happy to." And I did. And so then they wanted me to go back and do mediumship again, just at the end of the service. And I was pulled aside one Sunday by the president of the board, and he said, "You know, you're welcome to come and worship here, certainly, but Dorothy, who was the woman, has blackballed you." And I said, "She's what?" And she said, "No, you can't get in the pulpit. You're not allowed in the pulpit. You're not allowed to teach. You're not allowed to preach. You're not allowed to, you know, you're just not allowed to." And I said, "Wow." And he said, "I'm sorry to upset you." I said, "Oh, no. I've never been more flattered in my life." And he said, no, "You've been blackballed. You're not allowed." I said, "It's so flattering that someone as powerful as her would blackball me." And so I you know, and I said to him, you know, "Well, if there's anything I can do for the church ever, let me know, because I love the church and it's in many ways enriched my life greatly." And he said, "You don't understand, you've been blackballed." And I said, "I hear what you're saying. I'm very flattered by it. And if you ever need me, give me a call." And because I took that as the biggest compliment that ever could have happened, because this woman was amazing, and so after the guy passed away, Mel, the one I studied with, and then shortly thereafter his wife passed away, and the very first minister in the pulpit after both of them were dead was me.
Oh,
and
wow!
For the next 5 years, I was one of the rotating ministers. Every 4 or 5 weeks, I was in the pulpit, and I was, you know, they had me back. But it was kind of like, how flattering to be threatened by somebody that had no intention of wanting to take over the church. Just, you know. So anyhow, I guess, you know, we react differently wherever we are in our lives is what it comes down to. But or I take criticism strangely, one way or another. You know, it's just I'm terribly flattered that somebody would say I was a con artist, because con artists are good. You know, con artist is an artist. You know, they take it to an art, and so if I'm that good, I think that's really cool. I'll take it. You know, it's neither here nor there, and you know, I will let go of it. But you know, it happened today. I get to hang on to it for today. So we've got somebody in California. I'm going to open her mic, maybe. And you never know what's happening. Hi, this is Barbara and Jen. You want to tell Jen your name once more, please?
Yes, it's Rosario from California.
A Rosario. Okay.
Yes, hi. Mm-hmm.
How can we help today?
Well, I had a question regarding whether or not my ex-husband will finally accept that I won't be going back. And it's been 2 years since our divorce, but he's still asking, and he's still... I feel like he's trying to manipulate me, because we have 2 children, obviously, and I don't know anymore how this will play out, whether or not I just really have to cut communication again or...
So what are you really asking, Rosario?
I just like to know if you see him kind of, is he ready almost getting to that point? He's going to like accept that I'm not going to, okay, that I'm not going to go back?
You've gone back with him before is from what I can see. And I think that you're going to, in your heart, you know what you have to do. You have to cut off all communication with him, even if you have, if he has visitation rights with the children. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. It's part of the scenario of being divorced with kids. You know, it's just one of those things. So you have to be firm, and you have to say, like, you know, there's no hope in hell that I'm going back with you. I take it that there has been some feelings between the two of you, residual feelings between the two of you at times, and that, you know, yeah, sometimes it would be easier to get back together money-wise and everything else for the kids, but, you know, really two happy homes instead of one unhappy home is always the way to be. And,
yeah, that's true.
And I think you know that. So it's entirely in your hands what you do.
Because I,
I want to step in here a second. The only reason he feels like there's a chance that you'll come back is because you're not sure whether or not you want to go back or not.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe from what I'm seeing here, if you really said it was over and meant it, he would accept it. But you're, and in a way you're playing with him, and there, in a way it feels like it makes you feel better knowing that he wants to, you know, come back again. You know it's not smart, you know it's not healthy, you know it's not good for anyone, and yet you aren't done. So you have to, and I would really strongly urge you to find a counselor of some sort to be able to tie this up so that you can let go, because the only reason he's hanging around is because you're holding on.
No, and I have told him that I would never consider it, but I don't know. I think I'm ready, but like you said, it feels like I am. It feels like the truth is I'm scared of. I don't know. I'm kind of scared of his reaction sometimes, and because I don't know whether or not it's even healthy, or mainly for my kid's sake, I feel like I haven't cut contact completely, and that's why it feels like, yeah, I feel like I'm, because I think he thinks that if I don't completely, you know, cut contact with him, and including tell him that I don't want to see my children's lives, he thinks that there's still some kind of chance when there isn't.
I hear what you're saying, but that's not what I'm really hearing. I do think you're afraid of him, but I think you're also afraid of being alone, and that's a greater fear than be, you know, him. Again,
yeah.
This is way beyond my credentials. I don't have the kind of credentials to really help you with being able to sever those ties that are so very tight here for you, and I would strongly urge you to find a counselor that can help you to resolve this, because to be perfectly honest, it's you that's hanging on, not him.
Okay. So, I mean, just completely cut contact then, because, I mean, I had called before about future relationships, and they did tell me that I needed to resolve, you know, this before anybody can even step forward,
right.
And...
No, but hear everything that I'm saying. Seek out a counselor to help you work it out. You can tell him you don't want him around anymore, but he knows you don't mean that. So you need to work on yourself first to be able to get to the point where when you say that, you mean it. Because you don't mean it now. Okay? And I'm not saying that you're psychologically unbalanced or anything like that. I'm saying that, you know, a good couple of months of working with somebody who is very objective and has the right training can help you get to exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
That's hard, you know, when we don't have the credentials to be able to, you know, it's easy to say to somebody you have to let go, but sometimes the letting go isn't as easy as all that.
No, that's very true. You know, it's I haven't been in that situation. I can't step into that situation. You know, when there's kids involved, when there's young family involved, it's got to be very, very difficult. And that's not, you know, what we're here for, really.
No.
Wow.
Well, you know
there's so many depths to it, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And you know, she wasn't hearing get help. She was hearing, you know, yes, move on. But if you're with some, if you're in a situation where you don't have the trust or the faith in your own ability to move forward with your life, then you can say one thing and mean another. And from what I could tell, from what I could feel, that's where she was. You know, it's easier to have him hanging around waiting for her than for her to actually get on with her own life. So it's important you get the help you need, and psychics aren't meant to do that. You know, maybe there are some psychic shrinks, but psychologists. I don't think, you know, my opinion of psychiatrists is that you know, the only reason they become a psychiatrist is because they practice on each other. I took a class in, I forget what level it was, but it was a psych course of some sort, and it was run by a psychiatrist, and I had missed a class, and he confronted me the next class as soon as he started, and he said, "You weren't here last week, you know, why did you choose not to come?" And I said, "Well, you know, I took a look at my house and the fact that I hadn't done laundry, and I decided it was more important to do my laundry than to come and sit and listen to you." And his response was, "I'm not sure I can deal with that kind of honesty." And my response was so flippant, it was terrible. I said, "Then you should get counseling of some sort."
Well, that's funny.
But I got an A in the class, so... But yeah, no, it's having letting go of someone is very easy if you're ready to let go, and it doesn't sound like she's ready to let go, and, you know, that's beyond my credentials. So we'll move on and see if we can do something for Leanne. Hi, Leanne, how are you tonight?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for taking my call.
Delighted to. How can we help?
I just had a relationship question also. I have been seeing someone sort of for about a month and a half, and things are very up and down with him. He's a lot older, and he's having health issues, so I don't know if that's the issue. But I was just wondering if we're going to be able to get over this and have a relationship, or should I just move on?
Jen? We're not laughing at you. We're not laughing at you. Exactly. How much older is he than you?
He's 49 and I'm 33, so there's 16 years in between us.
Well, that's not very old, 49.
No, not at all. And I can't see that there would be any health issues that would prevent him from having a relationship.
Okay.
How long have you been with him?
1.5 months.
Yeah, it's very new. It's a month and a half.
And I think you know what has to be done and what, you know, honestly, why are you asking us? I really hate to be blunt, but, you know, gosh, golly, darn it, and all the other stuff that I'm throwing in there. Really, Leanne, what I get from your energy is you're a really vibrant, outgoing, sunshiny person. And if this guy just doesn't see it, start walking. Really.
Right.
Like, why do you put up with that?
Right. You're right. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I got to go along with Jen. I don't understand why you're drawn to him.
I don't either.
And you know, the reality is, I don't think he understands why you're drawn to him either. So
right.
The reason there isn't an ongoing relationship is because
Is there chemistry between you?
Yes, we have a lot of chemistry. We have so much fun together. But the moment that I kind of go to the point of how do you feel, he just shuts off, and we end up in an argument. So it's just very frustrating to me because I feel like I want more than what he is willing to give.
And you're absolutely right, and you shouldn't try to force him into anything else.
Right, right.
You should be grateful for the friendship and the chemistry and everything else, but he does not want the same things you do. And the worst thing, the absolute worst thing you can say to a guy is, how do you feel?
Right.
I mean, that terrifies them. They immediately go into fight or flight, and they say the wrong thing, and they say whatever is going to get them out of trouble fast, and it's never the truth. So, and actions speak louder than words. If you're having a good time with him, if you're enjoying your time with him, enjoy it. But this is not a forever ride.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, have a great evening.
Uh-huh, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Holy mackerel, Jen.
Oh.
it's kind of like, wow.
What I get is that you're looking for love in all the wrong places, right? And, it's too bad because there's so many worthy people out there.
Well, I found, and I'm embarrassed to say very recently, that the more you listen, the more you learn. And the more you question, the further away people get. So pay attention to how people are responding to you, acting towards you, because those actions will speak volumes if you pay attention to them. And the men don't like quiet, so they usually, if they sense quiet, they will babble. And in that babbling, you'll hear all of the answers you want and probably some you don't want. So putting a man through a third degree is probably the easiest way to drive him away and shut him up that I have ever known.
I totally agree.
And just listening. Most of us, I didn't learn this till I was 60, so I'm not surprised that somebody in their 20s or 30s hasn't learned it yet. You know, benefit from my many years of putting both feet in my mouth. If you just listen and don't try to interrogate, you will get everything and more than you want. It's so simple. But because we are so intellectually, kind of set up, and because knowing emotionality is so important to us, you know, we expect that it's important to them, and it's not at all. Not at all. So, aside from procreation, I sometimes wonder what men and women were meant to do together, because we're two completely different species. And for the most part, function on different levels of consciousness for the most part, so that it's tough sometimes to even communicate. And you know, there are exceptions to every rule, but the reality is no man wants to kind of put his guts on the table and have you poke through them and find out what made you feel this way and what made you say that. You know, desperation, fear, I don't know. Just let me out of here. You know?
I'll just agree with you. Tell you what you want to hear, and then I'll bolt. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want me to say? And then let me go out and have a beer and get, you know, and kind of get rid of this anxiety attack that is slowly overcoming my entire body.
That's right. Are you trying to trick me into saying something?
Yeah. Just tell me what it is. I'll say it. Just let me. Just you know, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. I don't want to be in trouble. It's a terrible thing. I should. Okay, so let's see if we can help Sandra out here. Hi, Sandra. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. Terrific. Good. How can we help?
Well, I was tossing around what to ask and then just decided that a general reading would be awesome.
You're tossing
okay.
around what to ask.
Well, what to ask, and then whether it was to do with work or... just whatever spirit. Well, I'm not going to ask about relationships, but I could have went that way. I don't have anyone, so it doesn't really matter at the moment.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Well, what's happening at work? I could be really... You're getting crapped on, aren't you?
Me?
Yeah.
Sandra. Yeah, Sandra, you. You feel like you're being... That's putting it bluntly.
Okay.
That's the feeling I'm getting from you at the moment, is that you're feeling a bit put out about work. Are you working at the moment?
No. I'm not working. I haven't been working for a year, actually. But I have some, I've been working on a healing modality, but I've had some challenges in my own physical health. So the crapping part is definitely the appropriate choice of words.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Because I just got that, and I'm thinking, this is really weird. I've never had that before, and I don't know why I would get that, but that is really weird. What I'm getting also is that you can't see the forest through the trees, and I'm not sure why that's happening. I also get that you have a terrific ability about you. And that you shouldn't try so hard. Now, I don't usually say that to people because everybody tries, right? But you try extremely hard, like you're an overachiever, but you're doing more than you absolutely have to. Don't. It's not as hard as you anticipate it to be. You don't need to do that. Let it be easy. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah, I have this thing about healing the world. and so when I have this terrible belch. It's actually getting better because I had a healing myself, and I'm rather impatient. It is very annoying to other people when, you know, when the emotions come up, because it really is, it seems to be, I can feel other people's emotions, and mm-hmm. it just comes right from my root chakra, you know, the energy, mm-hmm. and it's disturbing to other people. And so I am healing, I am a lot better, but I'm very frustrated, to be honest. And So I guess I just need to be patient.
Well, you know, really, a couple of things here. First of all, you're no damn good to anybody unless until you've healed yourself. So I understand wanting to heal the world, but frankly, the world is going to continue spinning until you get there, and will continue long after you're gone, too, I might add. A number of things come up here. One is, as Jen said, you are almost ritualizing what you're going through, which is making everything heavier and harder to heal. The absolute easiest way to understand this process is it's enlightenment, it's lighten up. So there should be laughter, and there should be joy, and there should be celebration, and yes, serious mm-hmm. working with energy, but not so serious that you bore people to death, because you know you're trying to heal them, not kill them. So it's sort of like, I mean seriously, I mean if you go in looking serious and somber, you're going to scare the daylights out of them. If you come in with a light heart and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and if it tickles, laugh. Instead of if it hurts, scream. But you know, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to you know, when energy releases, it releases in lots of strange and wonderful ways. So, you know, just be prepared, and if it happens, we'll all giggle. And, you know, so seriously, I mean, I people release energy differently. And
exactly.
So there is a tremendous amount of healing energy going on here, but the person that has to understand the magic is you. Because you're trying to make something happen instead of allowing it to happen. You allow healing energy to flow through you. You don't make it. I mean, none of us have that kind of power, at least that I know of. So it's sort of like you prepare yourself, you open yourself, and you let it flow through you. You personally will not heal anybody ever.
Right.
You'll
no,
be the
I do
conduit.
Know that.
Okay, you'll be the conduit.
Yeah.
So you know, that you want to heal the world and everybody in it. That's a very noble thing. But
I know.
But your ego will get in the way long before that even happens.
I've let that go, honestly. But that was originally what I thought, you know, I had felt. And it's like, I do know that, Barbara, that I can't. But I have got really bogged down with the, you know, my physical healing is not as fast as what I would like it to be. And
immediate gratification is a wonderful thing, but it rarely comes to anyone. it means that you are being given time to work on other aspects of yourself instead of saying, well, when that happens, then I'll go on to something else. If you're waiting for a healing process to happen, the most important thing you can do is to find another creative avenue that you can pursue while you're waiting for the healing to take place, and pour your energy into that so that you open more channels for the healing to take place. Healing energy, spiritual energy, comes through creative channels. And if you're sitting on your bum waiting for things to happen, you're going to grow moss on your rear end. I mean, you know, it just doesn't happen that way.
No,
so,
I understand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and so what are you doing creatively?
Well, I'm getting not too much, because I'm getting ready to go to court with my ex.
Okay.
So.
When it comes to relationship, the absolute truth is the only thing you should ever open your mouth and talk about.
Okay.
And be truthful with yourself before you're truthful with other people. Because sometimes our intentions and things like that aren't what they seem to be. I mean, and I'm not saying you would lie or are lying. I'm just saying make sure that you understand everything that you say, you know, how does it resonate as truth to you? But you're
okay.
Going to be fine as far as that goes. That looks like that's going to be done by July. So So get back into some creative stuff, whether it's writing, whether it's needlepointing, whether it's coloring mandalas, whatever it is, find something creative to do with your hands so that you get that energy generated. You're putting things on hold, waiting for other things, and the reality is nothing needs to be on hold. Everything will move ahead if you let it, but you're standing in the way saying, oh, no, not now. I have to wait for something else to happen. And, so you cannot, you absolutely cannot, nobody can. It's in the contract someplace that we signed before we came down here. You cannot micromanage your own evolution. You cannot determine the order in which things happen. You have to go with the flow. I mean, you know where the flow is going. You just don't like where the flow is going, and you're waiting for it to change, and it's not going to change.
Okay.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does, actually. Yes, thank you, Barbara. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no, I do. I guess that's the thing. I can't control it. And probably what I've done actually, having somebody put it in that perspective.
Just acceptance, Sandra, acceptance. If you can reach acceptance, seriously, if you reach acceptance, then it becomes easy. And that's a hard place in a sense to get to. What I saw is like a big zipper for you. And if you open that zipper, it's like Barbara said, it's rebirth. It's a new start. So picture that and open up that zipper and step through it and begin again. And if you don't, if you have problems with it, then close the zipper slowly and open it slowly. Do what comes easy for you. But that's what I was showing for you was a zipper.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why a zipper, but I think it's because perhaps for you, it's for rebirth. And I wrote that down when Barbara was talking. For you, it's rebirth.
And it does make sense.
And that's what's going for you right now.
Okay. That's great. Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you, ladies.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
I think that's one of the hardest things that I trip over most frequently is that there is a rhythm here. There is a flow. And sometimes we get so caught up in our own process and in our own physical reality that we forget to recognize that flow. We forget to use it. And it would make things so much easier if we really paid attention to it because, life would take on a whole new meaning. But, every now and then I get to the point where I want it now. I don't want to wait another month or two.
Oh, I know. I totally get that, and I totally understand that. It's difficult.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And the reality here is that when you stop wanting it that badly, it'll happen. I think that most of us can BS, with the best of them, but the only people you can't BS is the other side. They see right through you. It's kind of like, I know that when I'm ready for another relationship will appear. I'm ready now. You can send them. And I hear laughter on the other side, and it's like, come on, try again. And when I was much younger, it was like, okay, so I'm in a good place, and I'm ready for a relationship. Send them on. Give me your best shot. And again, I hear laughter a lot on the other side. It's sort of like, I can be very convincing to a lot of people, but the other side just doesn't buy it at all. And, you feel very stupid when you make your declaration, I'm ready, take me now, or whatever. There was an older woman who belonged to the spiritualist church that I studied in. And she was a medium, and she talked to her guides all the time, and she was a very wealthy lady. And she had decided that it was time for her to cross over. So she gave all of her money away. She gave all of her possessions away. She gave her house away. She gave her car away. She had a room at the YMCA. She had two dresses, one to be buried in and one to walk around in, and she lay down in her bed and she said, okay, I'm ready, take me now. And nobody took her. And, you know, 2 months later when she was totally out of money, she went to her family and said, you know, I need my money back. Apparently it's not my time. They wouldn't give her her money back or her house or her car. And I mean, eventually eventually the courts prevailed and she got some of it back. But she was furious because she had determined that it was her time to cross over and had not even considered for a moment that was the timing, was the universe's, not hers. But she gave everything away. She was ready to go. Take me, I'm yours. And nobody came and nothing happened. And she laid there in the bed for 2 or 3 days before she realized she was hungry, and she got up and she ate something. And it was, she was totally embarrassed when she came back to the church. It was basically, all right, so they didn't come for me. I wasn't ready yet. I know that now. And she said, but next time I decide I'm ready, they damn well better be there. And she did it 3 or 4 times before finally I think they got sick and tired of the whole thing and just took her. But it took her another 7 or 8 years before she actually did pass over.
That is so funny.
You know, we don't have control over that. We don't, you know, we sort of think we do, but we never really know. And you know, I think the kindest deaths are the ones that people go to sleep and just don't wake up. I mean, kindest for them, not necessarily for the people that have to find them, but, you know, that seems to me the easiest way to get to the other side. I'm not really sure. Haven't really researched it and don't intend to, but, no, it's sort of like the universe has its timetable. And everything is flowing according to that timetable. And we can't speed it up or slow it down. It's just, you know, we are flowing along with it. We are flowing in harmony with it, whether we know it or not. And, you know, we can put our heels down and try to dig in, but we're still going to flow, whether we want to or not. So the best thing to do is to go with the flow, to cooperate with the flow, to feed the flow, because that makes a greater richness come into our realities. But that's just my opinion.
I like that notion. No, I agree with you. I mean, I think we all have at certain times fought like hell about what's happening, you know, and most people know I'm an activist, and we get out there and we fight for social justice, or we do this or we do that, and you know, then we come to the realization that, you know, what the heck is going on, and we can speak up and do this and do that, because that's the way just some of us are built, and that's the way we are meant to be. We, like you say, we sign a contract, and I had this conversation this weekend with a very beautiful young woman, and you know, it comes to the point where, you know, did we sign a contract before we came? Did we just decide this is what we're going to be like, nurture versus nature? Who knows? You know, we can have our opinions. I know what I know deep inside. I'm not going to try and convince anyone else, because that's my own belief system. I can do my darndest to try and convince them, but I just, you know, deep inside, I just know. And it's funny, because you and I have talked before about you know, signing the contract, teaching, and the paths we're on. And we, you know, we can struggle with it, and the journeys, or we can just say, hey, let's just ease on down the road. Let's just accept. Let's just accept because it's going to happen anyhow. But it doesn't mean that we have to accept it. What's the word I'm looking for? Accept it because it's really easy. We can accept it because we can accept and we can teach others that it may not be the best thing to do, and that's why we're here. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and I think in the case of activists, no matter what the cause is, whether it's baby seals, whether it's, you know, wailing where you shouldn't wail, whether it's injustice on a far more personal local level, people who cannot handle or deal with or suffer injustice have to put the information out there. That doesn't necessarily mean that at this moment in time it will make a difference, but it is you plant seeds in other people's consciousnesses. At some point in time, those seeds take root and they flower and they flourish. And it may not be, you know, this month, this year, this decade, but it's those people who were activists that put the information out there, that planted the seeds, that started a movement, that created the ripple that became a tsunami. Oh, I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah, that was good.
I like that because I use the ripple effect in so many things. You know, I do. I do. Mm-hmm. So I have to. Good. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that and write it down.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, a butterfly sneezes and a tsunami hits around the world type stuff. It's even though it doesn't appear that you're making a difference, you're making an incredible difference. It just isn't as apparent as it will be in a decade. And you know, so many people have causes that they fight all their lives for, and people say, oh, it's a shame they fought all their lives and they never made a difference, or they never... Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. Because sooner or later, the wisdom of the words resonates somewhere, and people start to live the change that you know, you've been yelling for. Look at how long it took with segregation. Look at how long it took with...
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, there have been and continues to be injustices in this world, and people are outraged by them, and they fight against them, and it doesn't appear that they're making any impetus, any impact, but the reality is the sheer fact that they are noticed makes the impact, that plants the seeds, that gets the information out there, that causes people to doubt. And when people doubt, they question, and when they question, they find the answers, and when they have the answers, they make the difference. It just sometimes takes decades. And so, you know, you're never spitting in the wind. Never. It just feels like it. And you know, I have learned that well, look at Patrick for one thing. Patrick, 12, 14 years ago, was the only one saying what he said about extraterrestrials being the angels and UFOs being in the Bible. He was the only one, and he was a fanatic, and everybody dumped on him, and everybody attacked him, and he was just so used to getting attacked. I mean, he almost liked it, I think, but it was really funny, because from 15 years ago, or whenever his website went up, he was under horrific attack. And when the Ancient Aliens series started 10 years ago, or whenever it did, they talked about evil aliens and evil this and all sorts of stuff. And you fast forward to 3 years ago, everybody that's doing Ancient Aliens is now using all of Patrick's material. Patrick's material is what is now looked upon as the truth. And it was really funny because just before he passed away, I mean, weeks before he passed away, he was filmed for the Ancient Alien series. And coming back in the car, he said to me, you know, my work here is done. And you know, I looked at him and I said, well, I have a list. You know, your work is not done. And he said, no, seriously, the work I came here to do is done. I was the only voice, and now all of the voices are saying what I said. Not only that, but a lot of the people that are on the Ancient Alien series had called him and asked if they could use his material, so that his single voice in the wilderness became the cry of everyone a decade and a half later. And once he realized that, once he realized that everyone agreed with him, I mean, it wasn't that he didn't have purpose any longer, because I'm sure he could have found another couple of causes, But it felt to him as though that was the major reason he was here, was to get people to turn and look and listen to a different alternative. And once that happened, he could move on, and he did. So, you know, a perfect example of in its own time. All he did was get it out there. And I guess maybe the important thing is that maybe those people who are activists, those people that are fighting against injustice, your purpose, your cause is, of course, ultimately to make a change. But the reality is all you need to do is get the information out there, because once words are spoken, they take on life. And once they take on life, you cannot stop them. You just can't. And so, you know, feeling like you're not making a difference is a very human thing. But knowing that ultimately you will make a difference is the spiritual part of it all, and I think very important that anybody who has a cause should remember. If it's just, it will be heard. If it's just, it will happen. But I'm going to get off my soapbox because we have more people here in the queue.
It's funny because I think today is the day for soapboxes. Someone said that to me today. You're on your soapbox. And I just said, oh, I started laughing. And I thought, oh, whatever. You know, it's funny. It's true. It's very true.
Absolutely. Okay, we've got Lori here. Hi, Lori. Thank you for waiting. Can we help?
Hi. Sure. I have a lovely business, but I have been so tired and was wondering, am I flipping out because of my business, or is my business going to be taking off and I just need to get recuperated and get back in the game?
You're cutting out on me. You're tired because of your business?
Yeah, it works me. I love it, but it really has worked me, and I haven't had much of a break. And so I'm wondering, you know, am I getting burnt out from it, or is it just a start to life and I'll get over it and it'll start really going again and I'll get restored, or what's going on?
What kind of business are you in?
I have a tea and gift boutique.
Oh, cool.
It is cool.
It's very cool. Oh, wow. Well, you're very committed to it.
Yes, I am.
From what I'm looking at here, it feels like this is a time of new beginnings, that there's major change coming up here in the June timeframe, major changes, and you're birthing new... It feels to me as... Well, let me put it this way. You were inspired to start this job, this business. It was a dream. And you were inspired to make it happen. And you've made it happen. And sometimes on a spiritual journey, you know, the manifestation of the dream is what the reality is, and that once you've done it, you can move on to other things. I'm not seeing that you should close your doors and, you know, wait for the next bit of inspiration to come, but I am seeing that over the summertime, there is a birth of a new aspect of yourself. And from what I can see here, I would absolutely not say, you know, hold your tent at all, because it does appear that as you hit September, everything gets, you know, extraordinarily busy. There's more income coming in October. There's a crossing a threshold to new levels here as you get into November. I feel that you're in a lull before a storm of a great deal of activity.
Okay. Well, that's good. I just need to feel better then. I need to get rejuvenated.
But you have to understand, inspiration on any level, anything that has a spiritual flow to it, and I would say your business does,
mm-hmm.
the minute you start looking upon it as a product and a way to make money, you take away the spiritual aspect of it. If you can continue to allow it to be spiritually inspired and flow and grow on its own, I'm not saying it's going to make you a multimillionaire, but I am saying that trying to market it and looking at it in just a materialistic, physical way, you take away the inspiration and the magic. And I think that's what you're doing, that's why you're exhausted. You're totally exhausted with it because you're trying to make something spiritual happen instead of allowing it to flow and take on its own life.
Right. That's very good.
You can't make it fit into a textbook explanation of a small business. Doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm. And it's
doesn't
not.
Work
it's very non-typical. Yeah. That's so good.
And
I love that.
And you're taking away the creativity that inspired it. And when you do that, you absolutely damn it to failure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jen, what are you getting?
Well, when Lori first asked, I got a tidal wave over a moon. So to me, that means that you're going to be hit with an influx of business. So it goes to just validate what Barbara is giving you, Lori. What I would do is take a brief respite and recoup yourself. Give yourself a break and rest. You know, just give yourself a break, rest up, get ready for this new business that's going to be hitting you, because you are going to be hit with new business. I'm also getting someone talking in my right ear, so hang on. You've got a couple of people on the other side that always try and get in touch with you. I'm being told that you have these gifts yourself, so I don't know why you aren't listening to them.
Oh, I'm always trying to hear, but I'm not very good at listening, I guess. I don't hear. I speak, and I really, you know, meditate and try to hear what they're trying to say, because I desire it. I like the guidance. I like the confirmation. It makes me happy, you know. I like to do things for others very much, and my business is very spiritual, and it's about the people, and it's about creativity and inspiration and all that fun stuff. And I don't know why I'm so stinking tired. I mean, I'm just there all the time. I know that's one thing, but I still enjoy what I do. It's just, oh my goodness, this is the longest it's ever been that I've been exhausted. So,
get your thyroid checked and take some multivitamins.
Okay.
And I'm just being told thyroid. Have you had your thyroid checked?
No, I haven't. Actually, my mother just found out that hers is not working properly. So I think it is a genetic thing, correct?
It can be, from what I've been told, yes. So I was told to tell you to get your thyroid checked and to take a multivitamin.
Okay, I will definitely do that. I don't currently, and I should.
You know, please, we don't hand out medical information. That's not our gig. But if you're that exhausted, you know,
I'm pretty tired.
I'm feeling that, like exhausted, tired.
Yeah, you guys are talking about it's a weird day today and it's Memorial Day, and I have literally just laid around all day from couch or from chair to bed, just like, and restless. I mean, I don't sit well. I like to be up and going, and I'm go all the time, but I just don't even feel like it. It's just like, no, but I mean, just restlessness. I don't know. I'm just so tired and just restless. It's a horrible feeling.
Yeah. Get your thyroid checked, please. And, you know, that's all, you know, I can say. And, okay. Take care of yourself, please.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think Jen mentioned taking a respite. I would take a week or so off and just let yourself sort of regenerate. Because,
yeah.
and you know, I absolutely do everything Jen suggested because she's absolutely dead on. Are you drinking a lot of water?
No, I don't drink enough water. No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I don't. I don't get enough,
you know,
in me.
People who do spiritual work need to drink a lot of water. And no matter how much you drink, it's not enough. So
okay.
You have to understand that doing spiritual work, you're constantly detoxing yourself because you're bringing energy through yourself. And you know, maybe if you focused on yourself for a while instead of worrying about the business, you'd be in better shape.
You're probably right. I get that.
But,
yep.
And it does also feel as though there are new directions that it looks like you're going to be taking. There are new ways of marketing. There are new ways of putting your stuff out there.
Good.
Are you on the internet at all?
Well, we keep talking about it. I'm not very I'm not with it when it comes to the internet. We have started a little bit, but you know, it just takes time, and getting it out of me and onto the internet is half the challenge. But we are looking into that more and more. I mean, I feel like I've been in business for, oh golly, 11 years, studied for 3.5 before I even started, and I'm just now really starting to say, okay. But see, that part isn't fun for me. I mean, that isn't creative to me. Just getting all the tea online and getting this done and that done, and it's like, bleh. But I know
No, no, no. That's what webmasters are for.
I know.
You know, and you find a good one, and you know they are amazing, and you know there are a lot of good ones out there, and so you have, you know, you hand them your creative work, and they make it a reality by getting it out there for you. So I strongly urge you to start writing up all of the stuff that you want to put and share and put up on a website, and then find a webmaster that can make it happen for you. And don't jump at the first one. Take a look at their work and, you know, make
mm-hmm.
sure you have input and make sure that you have some creative control. And it really sounds and it looks to me as though getting it out there on the internet, it's time, it's past time. It's way past time.
Yeah. It is awesome.
So you could be tired because you, it could be tired because you are exhausted from holding back a project that should be out there.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it. I like that.
But get your thyroid checked. Jen's right.
Okay.
Jen's right.
Yeah, especially if your mother just had hers checked and it's a low thyroid. That's.
Yeah, I will do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much, girls.
You're welcome.
Thanks
for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye now. Okay. We've got Linda here. Hi, Linda. How are you doing tonight?
Very good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very, very well. Thank you. How can we help?
I was just hoping for a general reading.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
And we can be very general. Wow, let me see. Where to start? Well, it feels as though there's craziness around you. And, you know, healthy craziness, but craziness nonetheless. And it looks as though you've overwhelmed yourself with saying yes to everyone. Learning how to say no would be a good idea this year. Only because people do take advantage of people like you. You have a lot of changes coming up here. It does look as though that you're doing a lot of what I would say introspective stuff. You're kind of, are you sort of doing a life review? Are you kind of taking a look at everything and seeing, you know, what you've achieved and what you haven't achieved and where you want to go? Is this a time in which you're kind of going over all of that stuff?
Yes, it is.
Well, stop. You're not dead. You don't do a life review until you're dead.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like baking dough and pulling it out of the oven before it's halfway done and not understanding why you can't slice it and put butter on it yet. You're not done. This is, you know... I mean, if you want to do, it's just silly. If you want to look at all the things you have accomplished and feel good about yourself, I'm all for that. Go for that. But this stuff about, that's ridiculous. You're not done yet. You're so far from not done. It's unbelievable. You're at a place here where there is a lot of considering the new directions you want to go in, and it does feel as though there are a lot of openings that are coming up after the, you know, when the fall time frame comes in here, September on. It looks like you are ready to move into another genre almost. Your intuition is pretty damn sharp. I don't know why you don't listen to it, but it's there. And you know, you don't make major decisions by it, but you certainly take the input from it to make your choices appropriate. There's a birth of a new aspect of you as you get into December. Next year is gorgeous, just gorgeous. But I feel you struggling now, and I can't figure out why.
Well, it's taking care of my kids still, and it's worrying me that it's going to pull the carpet out of myself.
How old are your kid?
Oh, 24, 27, and 30.
I hope you're charging them all rent. Tell me you're charging them all rent, please.
Well, there's only one living with me right now, but the other two are struggling. And I'm always the one that pulls them out.
Yeah. You know that word I told you you had to learn?
Yes.
You need to learn it. You really do. In thinking you're helping them, basically what you're doing is making the lesson harder and harder and harder. So I'm not saying, if somebody's starving, I'm not saying don't feed them. But if they've made bad choices and wrong decisions, I'm saying let them learn the consequences of what they're doing. Because at this time in their lives, you're not supposed to be still.
I know. That's what gets to me.
You're not supposed to be an enabler now. You know, when they weren't potty trained, yes. But I'm pretty sure they're all potty trained by now. And...
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, then you really didn't do your job. But being the one who rescues means that you don't have a life, and you need to have a life again. So you need to really step back and you know, say, I'm really sorry, but no, I don't have, you know, if it's a matter of giving you extra money or me eating, I'm going to have a steak. It's wow. I mean, you've done a great job, and they're really nice people. But they know that you're the, you know, that you'll always, you know, bail them out, and you can't bail them out if it's taking away from your life, and right now it's taking away from your life.
I know it is.
And you know, sooner or later they're going to have to learn how to survive on their own. And if they kill you in the process, you know, that's a very sad thing, because then you have to come back and learn how to say no next lifetime. So, you know, learn how to say it this lifetime. Jen, what are you getting? Help me out here.
Help you out here. You made me laugh. What I get is from womb to tomb. There once are kids, always are kids, and that's the way it is. And we don't give up, right? That's the way we are as parents and as mothers. What I've got for you is that you're going to be traveling sometime in the future. And what I mean in the future is probably in the next 6 months to a year and a half. I also get the color green and the shamrock like Ireland. So I don't know what that means to you. And if you can link to that, I'd be really appreciative. Does that mean anything, Linda?
Well, my oldest daughter, her birthday is around St. Patrick's Day, so she's always been collected all the
perfect. Good. Thank you so much. So that's where all the hopscotch and the games would come in, because the party on. So they got in. I also get an old man who's got a rather prominent nose. And he's baldish, not totally bald, but he's the top of his head, the pat of his head is bald. And he comes in with the letter G for George or Gregory.
Oh,
does that mean anything?
My dad and my brother, I mean my ex-husband, are both bald on up.
Are they dead?
Dad and, no, they're alive.
Sorry.
Oh, you're talking of someone who's passed?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Well, the guy that's coming in is definitely, I only talk to spirit. So, learned that the hard way. So he's coming in with a letter G. So if there's someone that's connected you with you for the letter G, George, Gregory, then it's for you.
My brother Gary has passed.
Ah, thank you.
Head of hair.
But he had a full head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
But his name is Gary.
But if he'd lived long enough, he would have.
He would have been bald. But so Gary is recognizing your who is the guy with the bald head? Your dad? Okay, so Gary is passed, pardon me, Dad, and he's recognizing your dad. Okay, that totally makes sense. What I'm getting is a smiling magpie, and I've got to tell you that. Do you know what a magpie is?
Yes.
Okay, they're showing me a smiling magpie, but it's got a bald head.
I don't know.
Pardon me?
I don't know what.
And that is
why
they came in with the name G for George or Gregory, but it's Gary. And
yeah,
also
Gary.
Harper. Like Harper's Bazaar, I'm supposed to tell you.
Okay.
So keep that. And then what Gary, he's quoting Shakespeare. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. Wow. And I haven't thought of this in a long time. Do you remember that from school?
Yes, I do recall hearing that before.
Okay. Whew. So, wow. This guy has really strong energy. Your brother has very strong energy. Yeah, yeah. He's around you. He watches you. He walks with you. Wow. And he loves you very much. He did, and he still does love you very much. Tune in to him, please. He will move, a piece of furniture, like a table. Did he have something wrong with his sinuses? This is really strange. Did he have a tube up his nose at some time?
No.
Did he have breathing problems? He drowned. Oh, thank you. Not thank you, but I'm getting like something up the nose, so water up the nose. I didn't know what that was, what he was showing me. I haven't experienced that. Oh, wow. I could feel this thing up my nose. He's okay, you know.
Yeah.
He loves you and he watches over you and your kids and obviously your dad. And there's a woman on the other side also. Now, she is going up some steps. And I don't know what the steps... So, hang on just a second, please. I've got to talk to... Did you... Oh, hang on, Gary. He's showing me a woman walking up some steps. And she's smelling some flowers. And it's like, come forth. Who's got the steps in front of their home with flowers on the side? This sounds really strange, and I wish I could show you what I'm seeing. And they walk up them. Was that your grandmother? Does your grandmother have a gray house?
I didn't know any of my grandparents. My sister had stairs with plants in the front of her house.
Then that's what he's showing me, and he's showing me a chair. Like, take a seat. He's going to move a chair for you. As weird as that sounds. Okay?
Okay.
So one of your chairs will be moved, and you'll try and figure out who moved it. That will be Gary.
Okay.
Okay? So don't Very ask, good. Kids, or you'll ask, and everybody will go, I didn't move it. That'll be him. Come in to validate. Okay?
Very good.
Okay, take care.
Okay, thanks for calling, so Linda.
Thanks,
Bye-bye.
Barbara. Bye-bye.
Wanted to ask you, Jen, you have what I would call an interesting gift in that you taste and smell things a lot more than other mediums that I've ever worked with. You know, every now and then I'll get, you know, something, but you get weird stuff. And,
I know.
And has that always been the case, or is that something new to you recently?
This is something new in the last little while, and I have no idea why they are doing that. It is usually I'd see things very clearly,
mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the smells started coming in, and I think, okay, that's really peculiar. And then the taste would come in. And as you know, I can't even say it with you because I find it so weird and awful. Your taste.
Oh, gee, that's so sweet. Peanut butter turns you off that much.
It is one of the most detestable things to me. I look at it and I think that should taste so good. That, you know, it looks so yummy and everything else, and just the smell of it turns me off. Just
wow.
Really, really, really. And
you know,
I don't know why they are coming through.
that's one of my go-to foods. That's you know, if I feel run down or whatever, I put peanut butter on something, almost anything. I mean, my favorite breakfast is apple with peanut butter on it.
My daughter does that, and it is just, oh. And I think it was when I was pregnant with my youngest, and she came up to me, my daughter, my little girl then, came up to mm-hmm. me to kiss me goodbye when I was going to work, and just this wave of peanut butter breath. Oh, oh.
Well,
and my
you know,
husband looked at me, and my face went white, and they all said, get away from Mom.
Now I have to ask you something. Mm-hmm. Do you find that when you work with another person who's in the field, I you know, was going to say medium, but it doesn't necessarily, I don't exactly mean medium. I have found that working with Ray Booker, I suddenly now get songs for people. You know, Broadway songs and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. And after working with you, I am now on occasion, you know, getting a smell or a taste, or, you know, I'll suddenly smell cinnamon or honeysuckle, or, you know, I'm getting these aromas. And on Chris's show last night, so I think it was the last caller, she asked me to tune into a Lifetime that was way back, like in the 8th or 9th hundreds, and she wanted me to explain to people what it was like to be royalty in England during that time. And all I could think of, all I felt was, ooh, icky, all mud with all sorts of stuff mixed in it. It stank, and the clothing was rough, and you wore it until it fell off your body. You didn't change clothes and wash them. You just lived in them till they disintegrated, and you know, and it was like, and that's the way it was. You literally got sewn into your clothes, and you wore them till they fell off, and then you put something else on. But you know, it was so I'm wondering, you know, you work with Ray, you work with a lot of other people too. Do you feel that you pick up some of, I don't know, if I had to say something that was catching with me, that would probably be past lives.
I am picking up past lives because you've been so kind as to stutter, pass that along. And I think we do. I've always picked up through music. Always, mm-hmm. always. And I think that was a gift from my father. We listened to every genre of music growing up, and that to me is something that is so ingrained that, you know, and I've shared that with Ray. Colors come through. I can remember not knowing something about someone. And I said, I don't know the color of their dress. And another medium said to me, why don't you ask them? I never thought of that. Like, duh. You know, I never thought to ask. It's really difficult, I think, when we're on the radio or doing one of these readings, because we're talking to someone like Linda, to the caller, but we're also talking to the person on the other side. So we've got like a three-way or a four-way conversation going. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes their information isn't quite as clear, and they're showing us something that maybe they aren't being really precise about. I have all these huge words in my head, and you know, I'm thinking, you know, mannerisms, you know, general, you know, the way we throw our hands around and talking, and I can do all that with my hands. What I'm trying to say to people watching is mannerisms. And,
uh-huh.
you know, someone watching me could say, oh, yeah, that's the way my dad was, or that's the way my mom or aunt was.
Uh-huh.
How can I say that to them? Past lives. I really haven't done a lot of that. I'd love to learn. I really would love to learn.
Oh my! Well, when my chat room goes up on my website, and it's going to go up within the next couple of weeks, I believe, I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff there on workshop-ish, where we can you know, share our areas of expertise, because, you know, mediums, psychics that don't get together and you know, kind of blend their energy and work with each other are missing out on so much, because, you know, you pick up so much from people. I keep trying to, you know, Renee Richards is coming on my show and has done it at least once before. And what I found was, after working with her and Lizzie Starr as well, I started to get names more. So I don't know that it's catching as much as it opens up the potential in us, and you know, we get to play with it. We've got another person here. We've got Corinne. Hi, Corinne. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you? Wonderful. And I like what you're just saying, because actually that's one of the reasons why I listen to Blog Talk, is it helps me raise my vibrations, and I'm able to kind of, I don't know, connect with other mediums in a way that, you know, just I'm able to, sometimes it helps, you're right, to get a flow and pick up on other things that you hadn't been able to before.
Well, I think that's one of the things that I'm going to do with my the chat room when it's finished on my website. Just have kind of like a mastery class where you know, we can get together and we can kind of share some of our insights as to how things happen and how things and with people, you know, when you've got 5, 6, 7, 8 people who are in the field professionally, all there sharing. You have profound energy, and once you've discovered it and know you can do it, then you put it into practice, and then it enriches everybody. So I'm really getting more and more excited about this chat room, and Bear has it almost to the place where we can play with it, which is going to be profound. You know, Blog Talk Radio limits us to 2 hours. The chat room is forever. So it's going to be exciting. So how can we help you here tonight? Can we give you insight or inspiration or anything?
A general, because right now I'm kind of in a transition phase, closing one chapter in my life and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as a good move, but I'm a little, how can I say, unsure where to go from there once I make, it's actually a cross-country move, and I know it's going to be a fantastic one, but I'm trying to kind of narrow down so I can help manifest what, you know, what my true heart's desire is to help people.
Cool. Jen?
Well, what I saw is I saw you sinking your teeth into something new. Which is great. I think that's just wonderful. You're biting into something new, and big bites. Wow. And you're going to be carrying a heavy load for a while there, kid, and that's always good. I also get you're going to come out with a blast like gunpowder. Whew. It is going to be wonderful. Are you taking a new job there, or are you going to be setting up your own practice?
That's what I'm unsure of, because my husband actually is the big breadwinner, and I've just been kind of, you know, playing around with the idea of maybe opening a metaphysical shop and then start teaching as well, teaching workshops and teaching healing modality, et cetera. So I'm playing around with that idea, but I haven't really solidified it in my head yet. And
are you driving across? I was going to say across. Yeah. I think as you drive, you're going to be getting a whole bunch of, a whole bunch of vibrational changes. You're going to be getting a whole bunch of ideas, and you're going to be getting a bunch of downloads, as it were. So once you get where you're going, you're going to be looking at different venues. And I can see a tiny shop, not huge to begin with, but something not big, not really small. You will be opening up a shop, but it's not going to be huge, huge, huge. Okay?
And that's fine. I don't want it huge.
And I don't see it in your own home. I just see it like a little storefront, like a little thing, eh? And, you know, I'm Canadian, eh? And doing that. Like I said, it's going to be gunpowder. And I don't know why I get gunpowder. That's a new one. But it's going to come with a blast.
Yeah, because there's other ventures involved with this. My brother and, I mean, my brother-in-law and my husband are also working on a really big thing to help a lot of people, to help feed people and actually water wells and orphanages and everything. So I'm going to have my hands in everything.
Now, are you going to the west? Are you driving west? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you you're driving towards the Pacific?
Yes.
Are you planning on stopping before you get to the ocean?
Oh, yes.
You sure?
I'd love to be at the ocean, but actually, no, we're headed to New Mexico, so it's all desert. But I vibrate with water more so, so this is going to be a big culture shock.
How about...
Do they have sombreros there? I don't know that.
Yeah, sorry. Probably.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry, lady.
I'm feeling Salt Lake City.
Wow.
I don't know why, but I'm smelling salt water, and I grew up on salt water, so salt water I'm very familiar with, and it's very healing, and it's very, you know, I'm a lot of salt water. I'm feeling a lot of salt water. So just hang on to that and see how it may fit into it.
Yeah, it may not be a permanent stay, so yes,
manifest,
who knows.
Yeah.
I mean, we're actually being guided to go there for some unknown reason. I haven't figured that one out yet either, but it's really strong from spirit and guides to go there. I mean, you know, head west. It's hopefully New Mexico first, and then from there, who knows?
Okay, I am seeing the ocean here, too. So I think at some point in time, you're going to find that you do hit the Pacific one way or another, or it hits you. Yeah, you know, and I would go along with Jen. There is going to be some sort of a small shop. And my feeling is that you're going to be in partnership with someone. I think it's already there. You're just going to do partnership and expand it into your genre.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's a woman, and it feels like it's an older woman. So she just, you know, wants to bring new life in, and you certainly will supply that. I like Jen said, I see you getting downloads. I see you having a lot of information sort of dumped on you, so to speak. So take your time. I don't see you actually making any of this really manifest until a year from now. But it does feel that by the time you get to a year from now, you'll know exactly what you want to do and how you want to do it.
Wonderful. Is anyone in particular coming through in spirit at all right now? Bother you?
Who likes
stepping
pumpkins?
Forward, that is.
Yeah, who likes pumpkins? This is so strange. Who likes pumpkins?
He likes pumpkins. Oh, I
pumpkins.
Have no clue who that would be.
Halloween, pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns.
October.
That's a new one.
Yeah, I know.
Think about that.
I know. Big, I get pumpkins and pumpkin seeds. And I'm not saying that. I don't know who you are. I don't know if this guy's for you or not. It's a guy, and he says to say cannabis and cannabis oil.
Okay, that's new.
Pardon?
That's new. I have no clue.
So
does he give you a letter for first name or anything?
No, he's Henry VIII. I am. Who's saying that? What are you laughing at?
No, it's whoever it is has a real sense of humor.
Yeah, they do.
I have no clue.
I don't know if that's for you or for someone else. I think it's just someone random. That's just Henry VIII, I am. I think that was sung by Herman's Hermit.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah. So, and my nose is very itchy. It's like allergy season. So I don't know who this guy is. I'm going to just ask him to leave. So if anyone else can grab onto him, he's just come in to have a lot of fun.
He's decided to step forward.
Yeah, he's decided to step forward because I've opened up, and
I don't know.
But ask around, ask in the family, and see if someone can take him. And that was it. I'm sending him on his way. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, I sent him too.
There's a William here as well. I don't know, a William, a Bill. And this does relate to you. Yeah?
I'm sorry? It would be with my husband, I believe.
Oh, okay. Jen, what's so funny?
That wasn't me laughing. That was Jen.
That was me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get a William or a Bill, and it took me 4 years to find out who William was.
Oh, okay. Okay, there's a William and a Bill here. There's, this is cute. There's a Skip. Or Skipper, at least I'm hearing Skipper. So, and I don't normally get names, so that they're coming through so clearly, you know, it's probably Jen's fault. But, and I have a grandmother on your mother's side. Is she in spirit?
Yes, Mary.
Yeah, she's around you a lot. You've been looking at pictures and stuff like that. You've been doing a lot of retrospective stuff lately, and she's been kind of looking over your shoulder and patting you on the shoulder and patting you on the head, sort of saying, you know, yeah, there's some very special people that are on the other side, but that doesn't mean there aren't still special people on your side too. So don't look back, look forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. I greatly appreciate it. Jen does too, actually.
I do.
Just for the nose part. Sorry, Jen. Thank you.
No worries.
I really appreciate it very much, both of you. I wish blessings to both of you always.
Thank you. Thank you.
You
take
so
care
much.
Now. Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Namaste. You know, for a show that I forgot about, this turned out real good. And those of you that are still going to sit by your computers, don't, you know, please turn over and go visit Chris. She has Christina Nelson on. See, I got the whole name that time. And she is always a joy to listen to. And on Thursday, Jen will be her guest. And she's fun to listen to as well. Everybody eat peanut butter before the show.
Don't be doing that.
I looked for that song, you know, I like peanut butter, da 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 da. I looked for that song. I was going to play it just for you.
I do remote viewing, and I don't know if you do that or not. And when we're taught remote viewing, you use all your senses, right? And I think that's what happens is that, you know, you just, you know, what do I smell? Where am I? You know, what do I see? What do I taste? And those things come through so clearly. And it's like, oh, I don't believe it. And that's what's happened lately. It's just like, you know, this is not funny, you guys. Like, but it is what it is. And it's all good. It's always all good, and I enjoy it. So, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I really wouldn't. I'm blessed.
No, so. Neither would I. But thank you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I so appreciate the time you share with me. It's so much fun. And you always bring not only great energy, but great spirits and a wonderful crowd of people to play with. And I tell people that this is not work. This is a play date. So.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoy it, too. I just enjoy it.
You are such a joy to work with. So until next time, thank you very much. And I want to thank everybody for being here. It's been a wonderful evening, and Chris's show is starting almost as we speak. So if you have time, hop over to Curious Times. Good night, Jen.
Good night.